What if the secret to extraordinary influence wasn't charisma, authority, or even talent, but something far simpler? A century ago, a Missouri farm boy who struggled with crippling shyness discovered a truth that would reshape how millions approach leadership. Dale Carnegie's insights, born from his own painful journey to overcome social anxiety, sparked a movement that has reached over 400 Fortune 500 companies and touched countless lives. Warren Buffett keeps his Carnegie training certificate as one of his most prized possessions, calling it more valuable than his college degree. What did this unassuming man discover that continues to transform leaders today? The answer lies not in dominating others, but in awakening something dormant within them and within ourselves. Stop trying to be someone else. When young George Gershwin asked Irving Berlin for career advice, Berlin told him, "If you insist on being yourself, someday you will become a first-rate Gershwin. But if you try to be me, you'll always be a second-rate Berlin." Genuine leadership emerges from who you already are, not who you think you should become. Mother Teresa lacked corporate polish, yet when she decided to open an AIDS center in New York, both Governor Cuomo and Mayor Koch couldn't refuse her vision. Her power came from unwavering authenticity. ABC's Hugh Downs built a legendary broadcasting career through humble authenticity that made viewers feel like trusted neighbors. Your natural qualities, empathy, analytical thinking, resilience, are the raw materials of your leadership style. American Airlines' Robert Crandall excels at anticipating change. Olympic gymnast Mary Lou Retton radiates contagious enthusiasm. These leaders didn't manufacture false personas, they amplified what was already genuine. The question isn't, how can I become more like successful leaders, but what authentic strengths can I develop into leadership qualities? When you establish standards and live by them, like J.P. Morgan's Douglas Warner, who insists on full transparency, your integrity becomes contagious, inspiring others without force or manipulation. We communicate constantly, yet true connection remains rare because we confuse broadcasting with genuine exchange. Real communication ignites action in others. The best leaders understand this. Robert Crandall holds Monday meetings with people from all organizational levels. Walter Green schedules off-the-record lunches. J.P. Morgan's Douglas Warner walks the floor and holds coffee sessions several times weekly. Notice what's missing? Formal PowerPoint presentations and scripted messages. These leaders create spaces where honest exchange flourishes. This need transcends business. The Levine family established a weekly family council where everyone speaks freely. Dr. Ronald Evans at the Salk Institute observed that even brilliant scientists struggle to communicate their groundbreaking work, limiting funding and collaboration. Communication requires vulnerability. Prosecutor Kuo Chi-Zhu overcame his fear of public speaking by starting with a trusted audience at his old high school, speaking from passion rather than memorization. Corning's David Luther spent years building trust with skeptical union leaders before his quality improvement message took hold. Communication is both skill and art, demanding patience and the courage to be genuinely open to others. You cannot force anyone to care. Threats create resentful employees seeking loopholes. Financial incentives produce workers doing just enough to get paid. Real motivation, the kind that makes people go heroically beyond expectations, comes from something deeper. Paul Fireman of Reebok understood this when promising to overtake Nike. Rather than issuing orders, he enrolled employees by demonstrating his own willingness to take risks. He compared it to a Western film where the hero starts riding with one companion, but gradually others join until hundreds are galloping together. You make them want to come along. You ride, you go, and you just suck everybody else with you. Consider Brian Clemens of Cox Cable, who overheard a customer complaining while vacationing at Home Depot. Without being asked, he immediately intervened, arranged repairs, and issued credit. Or Bill Reese at Pelco Corporation, who stopped a taxing airplane to ensure urgent equipment reached Seattle on time. Nobody ordered these actions. They flowed from employees feeling personally invested. What creates this commitment? Include employees in all parts of the process, not just execution. Treat people as individuals first, employees second. Know their names, families, and circumstances. Acknowledge and celebrate superior work. Lynn Povich discovered this at Newsweek when she became the magazine's first female senior editor. One skeptical section editor later admitted he'd been wrong, praising her sincere interest, something his previous bosses had lacked. When did you last genuinely try to understand someone else's perspective? Not to manipulate them, but to truly see what they see. Burt Manning learned this selling cemetery plots door to door in Chicago. His pitch about investment advantages failed completely. Only when he asked what truly concerned these families did he discover their real priority, keeping family members close, even after death. Once Manning shifted his perspective to match theirs, his sales flourished. David Holman faced a difficult price reduction conversation with a vegetable grower. Rather than just delivering bad news, Holman drove 2 hours to the farm, borrowed rubber boots, and walked the muddy fields to listen with genuine empathy. Without discussing price, the grower accepted because he felt understood. Ask yourself, what experiences shape their view? What are they trying to achieve? This shift transforms both relationships and results. Most of us don't actually listen. We wait for our turn to talk or mentally rehearse responses. A radio interviewer once asked a guest who'd escaped a Kremlin prison through a tunnel into Stalin's office, "Do you have any hobbies?" This absurd disconnect reflects what most of us do in every conversation. Real listening transforms everything. Richard Buteau at Motorola describes himself as a carrier pigeon who listens for good ideas and transports them throughout the organization. Giorgio Mascietto of Lever Chile gained production improvements by listening to factory workers suggest adding a second toothpaste tank and replacing expensive scales with air jets. Active listening requires intense concentration. Good listeners nod, maintain eye contact, lean forward, and ask relevant follow-up questions. Chris Conway learned this from his teenage son, who explained how group leaders turn and face me and cup their chin in their hand and really listen, a technique that extended Conway's family dinners from 8 to 42 minutes. Companies can institutionalize listening through structured practices. At Motorola, executives sit quietly while employee teams present ideas. Ray Stada at Analog Devices holds roundtable meetings where small employee groups discuss candidly with executives, then writes detailed summary memos. When people feel truly heard, they never forget. True leadership isn't measured by personal achievements. As Walter Lippmann wrote after FDR's death, "The final test of a leader is that he leaves behind him in other men the conviction and the will to carry on." This truth demolishes traditional organizational pyramids. The future belongs to teams unified by shared vision, where energy flows naturally and work feels like being on a sports team, not an assembly line. Great leaders make projects belong to the team, letting decisions bubble up rather than dictating solutions. When J-Craft Corporation faced an impossible deadline, President Doug Van Vechten asked employees to figure it out themselves. Olympic coach Bella Karolyi adapted his style to each athlete, tough love with Mary Lou Retton, gentler with Julianne McNamara. When teams succeed, leaders distribute recognition generously. When they fail, leaders accept blame publicly while addressing improvement privately. Develop team members' talents by asking, "How would you like to improve?" and "Where do you want your career to go?" Create an atmosphere where contributions matter through small gestures, acknowledging expertise, showing interest in personal lives. People work for money, but go the extra mile for something deeper, the feeling that they matter. Your legacy won't be what you achieved, but who you helped become.